Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And in chapter 14, the title is Being Balanced in the Word and Prayer. So in chapter 13, we know, learn that the Lord wants us to enjoy Him. So we should come to the Lord and then read a portion of the Word and then pray back to the Lord what we understand. And the Holy Spirit will shepherd us, will supply us, and we can eat and feed on the Word. And that's pretty good, but that's not the only thing. That's just like we need to have two legs and two feet to stand strongly and steadily. So we need have a balanced pursuing living in order to grow in life and unto maturity. And so in this chapter, the burden of the brother is trying to provide practical help for us to have a balanced pursuing life. So the brother shares us the ways we get into the Word and the way even like how we pray. So in terms of like how we get into the Word, the brother shared we need to have at least two times daily of dealing with the Word and in two different ways. Using the analogy of buying a food and eat it, which one is more important? They are equally important because we have to get the food and we have to eat it. So the first way of getting into the Word is just like we have seen in chapter 13. We go to a portion and we pray over what we understand, and the Lord will supply us through the Holy Spirit. And this is very good during the morning time that we open to the Lord, we feed on the Word, and we got supplied and nourished. But during the rest part of the day, we need a different kind of pursuing. And the Lord is actually want to enter into His full revelation. So the brother encourages to have read through the entire Bible in 1 year. But that sounds a lot. But how do we do it? Basically, if we could read three chapters of Old Testament a day and one New Testament a day, then in 1 year, if we can do it persistently, then we could finish the Bible in 1 year. But what if we enter into something we don't understand? That's pretty good. So keep reading. We will understand as we're reading. And then we also have to set up a separate time to get into, the best one might be the Concordance of Strong's and Young's. But right now we have the footnote of the Recovered Versions, and then we have the life study. So while we're reading through the chapters of the Bible, over the week, and then at the end of the week, we can set up a time for to get into more detail for the part we don't understand. But if we keep doing this, in the long run, we will grow in life. Amen. We will have the capacity to know more, and we will be growing, and our capacity will increase. And then we need to know, we have, both spirit and mind. Our spirit need to be nourished. And how do we nourish? It's we turn to the Lord and we pray and we take in as a food. But our mind need to be renewed and enlightened. And then how do we do it? That's by our constant going into the Word. And then if we're doing that, then we will have a balance pursuing in the Word, and then we will grow in life. And in terms of prayer, there's also different ways of prayer. The first way, brother share, is we come to the Lord and we just what we do in chapter 13. We read a word and we pray to Him. We forgot about our need. We forgot our burden. We just focus on the Lord, gain Him, praise Him, enjoy Him. But we also have another time, to pray according to our need. And then the Lord is not a judge. We could just come to Him every time like we are available. We just turn to Him, talk to Him what we need, talk to Him our burdens, and then we will get a supply from Him. And then in this way, we have a balanced prayer in life. And also we have to pray privately, and we also have to pray publicly. We have to be balanced all the way. We don't want to be like an unturned cake. Like one side is overcooked, the other side is still raw. Both sides doesn't good to eat. And so to do this, we have to have time. But do we have time? We might be busy, but how do we have time? Praise the Lord, we have time to redeem. We could checking our counter of Costco, then the Lord can remind us, maybe we can read a half chapter of the Bible, then we gain in the Lord, and we could say, maybe I could get into bed 10 minutes early, such that we can get up 10 minutes early to enjoy the Lord, to feed on the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, we got a promise to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he shall abound. Praise the Lord. And also this is a practical practice. So we don't have even if we fail, we maybe some days we could not read 4 chapters of Bible, we don't be condemned. Each day is a new day. And then we just come in to the Lord. Amen. We have the time to redeem. We don't have time to regret. We just have to proceed forward.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all build up this a balanced pursuing living, such that we could all grow unto maturity at the full measure of the stature of Christ for his eternal building.
Amen, saints.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For life, growth, and building.
Amen.
Amen. Life, growth, and building.
Amen.
Amen. So chapter 15, its title is Life, Growth, and Building.
Amen.
So this was a really enjoyable chapter to read until I got to the middle of it. But first of all, saints, we need to realize that the central thought of God is that he desires to work himself into us,
amen,
right? And so the only way for God to accomplish this, to be life to us, the only way for God to accomplish this, the only way for God to accomplish this is to be life to us.
Amen.
There is no other way for God to work himself into us. For anything to become part of us, it has to be eaten and digested by us. And it even has to be mingled with us. Nothing can be wrought into us as much as food we have eaten. By the evening, the breakfast and lunch we ate earlier in the day already have become part of us. Amen. So our brother shared, we need to have prayer and the Word, right? We need to eat the Word. We need to enjoy the Lord in his Word. The Lord said, the words that I have given you are spirit and are life. So the Word that we take in is life to us, right? This is just Christ himself. We need to learn to eat Christ in the morning, right? To start our day eating Christ in his Word. The Lord also said, I have come that you may have life, right? Not that you may have doctrine, but that we may have life. In John 10:10b, I have come that you may have life and you may have life abundantly. Lord, the saints, the Christian life is not a life of famine. It's not a life of just getting by, right? It's actually a life of abundant supply,
yeah,
an overcoming life.
Amen.
We should have we should enjoy life all the time, right? Not just enough to get through the day. Not just enough to survive, but we should have this enjoyment of life to overcome, right? Have an overcoming life. The way to live a Christian life is to live by, it's to live by eating Christ as life, right? Only this life, only Christ can live the Christian life. We need to realize, though, saints, that there are a lot of veils to what we think life is. In fact, as I'm sitting here, I use the or sharing here, I use the word life a lot. But what's our definition of life? Is your definition of life something concerning like a behavior or a routine? Or is it the enjoyment of Christ himself as life? You know, Brother Lee shares this deep burden that he's traveled all around 60 cities in the U.S. And he was burdened that the saints were veiled from life. So he said there's too many things, good things, even the best things that distract, frustrate, hinder, and veil people from life. God's intention is that we would enjoy life, that this life would grow in us, and that this life would produce something for God's habitation, his building. But the enemy has so many activities. In Matthew 6, 13, we have a lot of struggles and veils that hinder the growth in life. There's these parables, right? We have the seed, the kingdom seed. The sower went out to sow. Christ went out to sow. And some seed fell beside the way, and the birds came and devoured them. What are the birds? Satan is these birds, right? Satan comes and picks up these seeds and is there to frustrate the spreading of God's life or the kingdom life. Then there's also the matter of the parable of the seed falling on the wayside, right? The soil is hardened because there's this traffic. It's like the wayside beside the path, right? The soil here, you know, is our heart. Some of us may realize, or have heard this before, that the soil referenced here is our heart. And the worldly traffic will harden our heart. And the seed may be cast upon someone with a hardened heart. And so it doesn't go deep. It doesn't take root. And what happens? Satan will come in as this bird and pick that seed away, right? What a frustration. Another matter is there's stones. Sometimes our heart has these hidden things, right? Hidden sins, or we think too highly of ourselves, right? We may be prideful, or we're even the opposite. We're self-pitying, right? Thinking too lowly of ourselves. These hidden things can be stones that frustrate God's growing in us, right? The kingdom seed growing in us. There's these thorns. The thorns are the anxieties of this age and the deceitfulness of riches. All the anxieties of this age. Oh, saints, we need to learn to cast our anxieties on him. Amen. Right? It matters to him concerning us. Amen. We shouldn't live a life full of anxiety or in the deceitfulness of riches. Amen. Consider the Lord came that we could be freed from serving mammon. Amen. Right? Amen. Those who don't have money are anxious about getting money. Those who have money are anxious about losing money. Right. Don't serve mammon. It's deceitful. Riches are deceitful. So there's also this parable of the tares. This was really interesting. The tares, right? There's the man who slept, and his enemy came and sowed tares in the midst of the wheat and then went away. Saints, the enemy never sleeps. He's always there trying to frustrate the growth of life, right? What's interesting about this is that the tares are actually, as Brother Lee shares about, they're false Christians. We may even be there, like with our other Christian friends. However, they're a frustration to us. How can you say this, right? Where's the proof? Well, listen to this a little bit later. It says, verse 40 in Matthew 13, therefore, just as the tares are collected and burned up with fire, so will be at the consummation of the age. So there will be judgment. There will be some who have grown in God, like who are God's cultivated land, right? This growing, producing food for man's satisfaction, God's satisfaction. That's the wheat. But then there's also the tares, right? The tares will come up, and what are they good for? Nothing, just to be burned, right? Nothing for God's building, nothing that satisfies God, and nothing that satisfies man. So we need to be aware that Satan there may sow some among us or in our life that may be a frustration and a hindrance to us. We need to cleave to those who love God and love God's purpose. Amen. Right? Amen. Amen. Even this is so good. So we have the seed, right? We have these parables of the seed, but eventually Matthew 13 starts to produce something, right? The seed, right? The wheat makes grain, which produces a meal, like, you know, the bread. It's a meal that's satisfying to God and to man. But then the enemy will come in and try to leaven it right away. The enemy doesn't stop. Tries to throw leaven. So we need to guard ourselves from leaven, saints. Guard ourselves from any mixture. Anything that will come in as leaven. Anything that will be mixture in God's kingdom. This other item is related to this. Later it talks about the bush, right? Or sorry, the mustard seed, right? The mustard seed is a very small seed, even one of the smallest seeds. It signifies that Christ is small enough for us to eat. Praise the Lord, our Christ is small enough to eat.
Amen.
He's good for food. But the same verse, the second part of the verse says that this is the abnormal development of the outward appearance of the kingdom. This says that, and which is smaller than all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of heaven come and roost in its branches. Saints, this is an abnormal development. And God has a natural order, right? Something that is a mustard seed, a very small bush, should not develop into a large tree, right? It's an abnormal development. This is a picture of the church, right? The church should not be this large tree in which the birds of heaven come and roost in its branches. You know, there's a concept in Christianity that this is a good thing. That this growth is a big tree. The birds are there. But saints, those birds are the same birds that snatched away the seed on the wayside. The same birds that roost in Christendom or Christianity today are the same birds that will come and take away the seed from taking root, the kingdom seed. This is a big warning. So the progression continues. So we have life. We have the kingdom seed. We have life. We have the growth of this life, right? We want our heart to be the good ground. No rocks, no worldly traffic, no thorns. We want to be the good ground for the kingdom seed to take root, right? And to grow. All these things come in to frustrate it, but we want to have this growth. This life in us that we've received, which is just Christ himself, needs to grow. As it grows, it produces something good for God's building. God's building here, there's these materials. There's a parable about the pearl and the treasure in earthen vessel. So the pearl here is something that is formed in the oyster, right? In the death waters. There's a wound. The grain of sand gets into the oyster, and that's a wounding. That signifies Christ was wounded. And that grain of sand, through the secretion, this life secretion, over and over, layer upon layer, produces something beautiful, right? This should be a picture of us, saints. We need the life. We need to stay in the death of Christ.
Amen.
So that this resurrection life will coat us over and over and over, so that we can be something precious to God.
Amen.
This matter of the hidden treasure is also very good. Saints, do you know that you have a treasure in your earthen vessel? I was enjoying listening to the saints this morning sharing, and I was appreciating the treasure in each of your earthen vessels.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You got to look away from the earthen vessel.
Amen.
You got to look to the treasure inside that earthen vessel.
Amen.
So, amen. So that's how the Lord sees us. He sees the treasure in the earthen vessel. He doesn't just see, you know, all the clay. He sees the stone, right? Peter was a man of clay. The Lord gave him the name Peter, that he would be a stone. But eventually in Revelation 21, I believe, Peter is referred to as a precious stone, right? Precious stone for God's building. And that's just us, saints. We have this treasure in our earthen vessel, although we have this clay. Praise the Lord, after our body is glorified, when the Lord this transformation process is fully complete, we'll just be a precious stone for God's building.
Amen.
Hallelujah, no more clay.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so the transformation is for God's building. Amen. I think that might be good, saints. Probably went over time, right? Sorry. It's really good, though. Yeah, there's more verses here, but I think that's good, saints. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Even though Satan has all these frustrating tactics, the Lord is still victorious.
Amen.
Nothing can stop this overcoming life in us.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So we now come to chapter 16,
Hallelujah.
Which is about the way to grow. I'd like to point out that we should pay attention to the Bible verses that were in the book. The first passage is about Ephesians 4, chapter 15, verse 15 and 16. 15 says, "But holding to truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ."
Yeah.
So we need to pay attention to these four words: holding, love, grow, and head. In the footnotes, holding just means that truth are things that are true, that are according to the context, it must refer to Christ and His body. Both are true things, and we should hold in love to these true things that we may grow up in Christ. You know, though, in this verse, I like it so much because this would answer the question on how we may grow in life. It is just by loving the Lord.
Amen.
I think Jeff has already shared a lot about the parables and all of that. And at the end, everything that we gain, our doctrines, our knowledge, everything that we gain that we read, if we do not love the Lord after reading them, then everything we do is in waste. And I truly experience that because this love is just God Himself. And only God's love can cause us to love the Lord back. Because if we check with our experience from the time that we got baptized, we heard the message of gospel, we got touched, we got maybe inspired, and then by faith we accept the Lord, we believe in Him, and the love of the Lord in us at that time is just a flicker, just a tiny bit. And then as over time, why do we stress so much about coming to the meetings or reading the Bible, reading the ministry? It is in order to make this love, this flicker of light, to start burning, like in a furnace, or the lamp, the pilot lamp would start bursting out and start burning. And we need to let the love of God in us start working in us, start operating in us, so that we will love the Lord more. And as we love the Lord more, we will then start growing. So there is no need for us to try to think of any physical ways of how to grow in life. The more we are in our mind, the more we do not grow. The more we are become negative. So we need to come really before the Lord. And then in this verse, love, it says, "This is not our own love, but the love of God in Christ, which becomes the love of Christ in us, by which we love Christ and the fellow members of His body. It is in such a love that we hold to truth, that is to Christ with His body, and are kept from being influenced by the winds of teaching and from bringing in elements that are foreign to the body." A lot of people likes to really go into teachings. They study so much about teachings, but they don't see who is behind all these teachings. Only Christ is worth for us to pursue. And if we pursue the Lord, then we will not be influenced by the winds of teaching, and we will not, bring any other element other than Christ into the body of Christ. And then in order to grow, we should be like little children that simply eat and sleep, eat and sleep and love the Lord. That's all we do. We just love the Lord, eat the Lord, exercise our spirit, and the growth will naturally take place. Amen. We don't have to force ourselves on how to grow, right. But just through eating the Lord, enjoying the Lord, we will grow accordingly. Amen. Then Ephesians 4:16 says that, out from whom all the body being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply and through the operation in the measure of each one part causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. So this verse is so clear that the building is out of the love for the Lord. And of course it grows up, it talks about the rich supply, the gifts in the church life. And we need to know that no one member is greater than others. Atsuo is not greater than Hong An, nor neither Hong An is greater than Atsuo. We are all the same. In the sight of God, we are just all the same. Amen. And our portion is different. Our gifts might be different. It might seem greater. But in the end, it's just the same thing. Amen. That is, we are here for the growth of the body of Amen. Christ. Amen. To build up the body, to be builded up. Amen. And then in 1 Timothy 1:14, talks about the grace of our Lord superabounded with faith and love in Christ. Faith, I love this one. Faith and love are products of the Lord's grace. Mercy and grace come to us from the Lord. Faith and love return to the Lord from us. Amen. So what comes from the Lord, we return it back to Him. It's not what we gain on our own, our mind, our knowledge, and we give it to the Lord. Lord will throw those away, we'll burn them. But what He gives us, we bring Christ back to the Lord. And that is what He wants. And this should be our spiritual traffic between the Lord and us. And then faith is simply that we enjoy the Lord that we have received. We need to have this kind of faith. May we all pray that that the Lord will give us this kind of a faith, saying that we will love the Lord. Amen. Then John chapter 21, 15 to 17, it mentions about Peter after the Lord died. Peter was fishing, and then the Lord Jesus came and appeared to the disciples. And the Lord asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter was frustrated. He said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And the Lord replied, "Feed his lamb, shepherd his sheep, feed my sheep." So how do we do that? It's simply by the love of Christ. So Jesus took the pattern of coming before Peter and showing him that he still loves him, even though he has fallen so many times. And we are worse than Peter. We've fallen right and left all the time, every day of our lives. And so, but we need to remember that in order to have this maturity, we need to have this faith cultivated in us, like this piece of land, the seed should grow within us till it becomes that, grown up and we become mature. Amen. Then there are four main items about the growth. I think in our group, we can all deal into that. The first one is the first way to grow being to love the Lord. When we come together, we need to encourage each other to love the Lord. From my experience, I just felt that every day when I wake up, I just, "Lord, I want to love you today. Grow in me." I just repeat this prayer every single day. And I think over these 50-some years, I think my love of the Lord has increased. How much? I don't know. And I don't care. The Lord knows. Amen. And the Lord will take care of it, right? Amen. If we worry too much, then that means we're not growing. So, and another thing about the sower and the seed, there's a lot of things that is in us that is, choking us. Education can be one. Mine is the love of opera music. That can really choke me. When I listen to opera music, I'm fully involved in it. Before I sleep, I put earmuffs on me and I listen to opera. and then I'll be able to sleep. But that's, you know, everybody's different. But nowadays with the young people, the most, I think, disturbing ones are the modern technology. If we, you know, go to the young people, just go to the young people meeting, and you will see all the young people, the junior high or the high schooler, everybody's doing their phones. If you have a problem for old people like me, I just pass it on to the young ones. They can fix it in seconds because they know everything about it. And all these things, you know, our world inside us, everyone is different. And so we need to really come before the Lord and have the Lord dig away all of these things.
Amen.
Then the next one is for us to have the clearance and confessions and clearance, which is self-explanatory. And then the third point is about knowing and exercising our spirit. When we come to the Lord, it's really important that we exercise our spirit. This is our human spirit, not about the Holy Spirit, but the human spirit. And then the last one is always, no, the second to the last, always staying in contact with the Lord. We need to contact the Lord every chance we get.
Amen.
Do not say that we are too busy to contact the Lord. Even when I was working, I would contact the Lord by just calling on the Lord within me. Nowadays that I'm kind of semi-retired, I spend hours and hours a day to read the ministry and to try to finish my standing order books, which still has a lot unread. But every time I read, I just call on the Lord.
Amen.
And every word becomes so fresh to me, and it just brings me, cultivate me to love the Lord, and the Lord, the love of the Lord will start operating in us.
Amen.
And then lastly, we should be simple to have the growth in life. Simple as children, but not childish. Okay? Children just eat, and the parents love the kids. Kids just eat and eat. That's what we like the kids to do. And by eating, they grow. So we should be simple like children without any questions. And in the last one, I'd like to say the last statement, it says, if we learn how not to say but or yet, then we are blessed. Don't ask too many whys. That's me. Just pray, Lord, cause us to love you, reveal your love to us, and grant us an inner love for you. The more we pray this way, the more we become simpler, the more we will grow in life, and the more we will build it up with one another.
Well, I do have to say, it's a tremendous thing to be here in this training on experiencing life.
Amen.
Hung and I, not Hung on, but Paul and I just came back from the meetings in India where the topic was the one new man. And so we'll get more into it, but to realize what we are touching when we talk about growing in life is unfathomably immense and tremendous and wonderful. What it is that we are advancing when we experience life. When we grow in life, it culminates in God's purpose, and even the purpose of what you and I live for, that purpose being fulfilled. That's what we're touching this morning. Learning lessons. I just was taking so many notes. Your experiences and even what the brothers shared, it's something that we will not realize the value until eternity. Just the things the Lord has put to us, just even the simplest things, you know, the practical help also. It's not just truth that's out there, but so practical. I just love this line that Hung On ended with. We should never regret. We don't have time to regret. We have only time to redeem. We have to redeem that time. Don't worry about time you wasted. Redeem what's before you. I mean, oh, Lord Jesus, this I really feel will have eternal value, the things that we're touching as we get into it. So I'm sharing on chapter 17. There's only 18 chapters in the book, so you can tell it's really close to the end, and it's coming to quite a marvelous conclusion. But I was very surprised to find the topic of this second to the last chapter to be what it is, because it talks about the proper speech for the building up. I mean, we were up in the stratosphere, now we're right down to words, what I say, what I, you know, communicate with. But starting with the verses, the verse that the message keys off of is Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. We know that the whole Bible has a heart, and particularly in the New Testament, the heart are these four books, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Colossians. These are called the heart of the divine revelation. And in this heart, which really opens up the matter of life and building, there's this verse that says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." It just seems very puzzling. Why is this verse in this crucial part of the Bible talking about our speech always being with grace? And what does it mean, grace? To speak with grace. I mean, every one of us speak, either verbally, or we text, or we email, or we post. All of that is what this is referring to. This is the kind of speech that we should always speak with grace. What's that mean? And why is that so crucial? And then seasoned with salt. Salt? I mean, imagine a shaker of salt and what, you know, before you hit the send button, you shake the salt. What is salt meaning? Obviously, it's a metaphorical use. And then that you may know how you ought to answer each one. But this verse is, it turns out to be a very critical verse, because this is on the practical lessons. We want what we've all gotten into to be something that helps us, and it's a training. Training means who we are needs to get touched. And if my speaking, if my computer communication gets touched by matters related to life, something has happened to me. I have been touched if it touches my speech. This is why toward the end, Paul, and in this lesson book, it comes to how do you speak? We're, brothers and sisters, we're not here just for vain learning. We genuinely want to grow.
Amen.
We genuinely want to reach the goal of our life, of God's purpose. It has to affect how we live. And who we are has to be touched. This is not speech, by the way, just to correct language or grammar or don't say mean things and say nice things. This is about changing who we are in life so that our expression is with grace.
Amen.
And seasoned with salt. So the salt means salt in the Bible. You know, it could have said seasoned with honey, it could have said seasoned with many other things, but salt in the Bible represents the cross. When we speak, when we express ourselves, it needs to have the cross applied to that expression. So obviously this is a very inward thing. The cross has operated, it has affected how we speak. It has affected how we text. The email, a lot of the things that we might have hit the send button on, it gets deleted because the salt has killed that thing in us. There's something in that. Well, what we have to know is that all of what we were sharing in this book and in the experience of life and even in church life, it culminates in something. It's not just that we become better, more spiritual, more loving. All are great. We need to do these things. But it's not just that. All of these culminate in the building.
Amen.
It culminates in our collectively growing and being built together. And for that to happen, our speech, our interaction with one another, it's crucial. Does the building happen? Do all our experiences in life have the result that it's intended to have? That result is that not just that the stones would come out and we're a stoneless piece of earth, it's that eventually that life could be built together with others. And for that, our speech is crucial. It can determine that we get built together, or too many times, and I'm here just telling you, I have been guilty of this, what I say can actually be tearing down. The exact opposite. Everything that we experience in life is towards the goal of building up, but I can destroy it by something I say to my brother. I say to my wife. An email that I send to some other saints. That is what this chapter is touching, and why, in a practical, real sense, we need to learn this lesson. As one who's made the mistake too many times, I realize I need this lesson on my speech being proper for the building up. So you notice in the chapter, there's two parts. It's not just speech, but it's speech for the building up. That's why the speech part is so crucial, because all the experience of life is with the goal for the building up, and the building up, this is a direct quote, depends greatly on the matter of our speech. Amen. And he mentions letter writing. So, I mean, that's why I know it's not just the verbal. It means any kind of issue from us in contacting with the others. That is crucial. Whether we build up or we tear down, very much depends how and what did we say. So, careless talk, speech is used by Satan. That's what we have to realize. We think it's just a casual talk. Actually, that's emanating, and hidden in our words is God's enemy, and he will use and ride on our utterance to destroy and tear down the building. And we're careless about it. We don't realize it. But he's, I don't know, in computer life, there's something like that, right? Virus or something we sent, and it's attached. We have no real, we're unconscious. But there's poison, there's damage creating venom attached to what gets sent out. And it can destroy computer systems and things. Well, this is what can happen with our speech when Satan attaches what he intends to our words. Here's a verse here, James 3:6. The tongue is a fire. The very world of unrighteousness. That's not somebody else's tongue. That's my tongue. Right? But the tongue, no one among men is able to tame. It is, the tongue, is a restless evil full of deadly poison. That's what the Bible says about our tongue. Full of deadly poison. So, saints, be careful. What should happen is, as we experience life, this is one of the pitfalls, we have to not be careless about our speech. Apply all the things that we've gotten into to just when we're about to speak. Apply all our lessons, practical lessons on life, to our speech. The enjoyment that we had, cause that enjoyment that we had in the Word to temper what we're about to say. Three tests. Whenever we're about to speak, let the cross, the salt, test. What's our motive for speaking? Maybe we're going to say something. Is there a motive to glorify myself? Or maybe there's a hidden motive to condemn somebody else or to expose someone else's weakness. That is a great test. What's the motive? Are we really pure? You know what? If it fails, don't say that. Don't hit the send button. Don't post that. If you realize, oh, I'm doing that because it's going to make me look good. Or I'm not happy with that person, and I'll send this, and it'll totally expose and criticize. That is an impure motive. hiding behind what we were about to say. Then the source, which is somewhat close, but the source, maybe we don't have an axe to grind. Maybe we don't have some other hidden motive in what we want to say. But is it really something the Lord has touched us? Is the source the Lord? Or maybe it's just our good self. We just say, hey, this is a good comment. I just need to send it out there. Or is it something that has come from the Lord? If it's not from the Lord, why would we? Maybe he's just being silent. So check the motive, the source. Also, the third one, which I need to learn more, is position. Maybe it's a pure thing. Maybe it's something the Lord definitely feels it needs to be said. But maybe I'm not the person to say it. Maybe I'm not a person in the position to say it. Maybe it's not my place. I have made this mistake, saints. I just realize, oh, there's a need or there's a... But you know what? Maybe that involves another church and I'm in Bellevue. I should just let the brothers in that other church handle it. That's not my place. Or maybe I'm the husband and not the wife. I shouldn't say that to my child. I should ask, maybe in our fellowship. That is the position of the mother to speak. Dad shouldn't say that. Maybe, so we have a good motive. We have the Lord needing. But maybe it's not me. You know what? If it's not my position, stop it. So just three just tremendous tests. And you know what, saints? This is a very timely word on the need to have our speech proper for the building up. It cuts both ways. What we say, is it going to result in life or death? If it's death, just let the cross stop it. Trust the Lord. Maybe you think, but somebody's got to say something. Trust the Lord. Apply the cross to the word and say, Lord, I put it into your hand. You got it. You have to speak it. The other way is we may receive something. We may receive speech that is not salted with the cross. Then what? This really goes along with that message on the water for impurity from the training. We need to touch the Lord. And I would just share a very practical lesson that I learned very early, that whenever we receive a report, whenever speech comes my way, both good or bad, I need to touch the Lord and touch that water and let it wash and cleanse me. Amen. Maybe it's a report about a saint. And you know what? It is not about right or wrong. Maybe it's completely accurate. This person did this, and they said that, and something happened that wasn't good, and everyone would say, that's terrible. If I hear that, that carries some death with it. I need the washing of the word. I need to touch the spirit. Another thing that's much more subtle, and by the way, before I get to the more subtle thing, I'll just share one thing that was a big help to me when I was a young brother. I was with some brothers, and we touched this point of how careful. And we were just going through a storm, by the way. We're going through a storm in this area, and there's a lot of talk, full of death, full of poison. What do you do, you know? And a lot of it's not that it's wrong. Some of it's true. Someone did do something inappropriate or say something. Well, it's full of death. You need to just pray and touch the Lord. Well, this brother shared with me. I wasn't there directly, but he was... talking to this brother, and I shared this with some of you, but to the extreme, I think it makes the point where these brothers were in this car, young brothers, and one of the brothers in the car said, you know what, I learned about so-and-so, I want to tell you about so-and-so. And then a second brother, a young brother in the car said, oh yeah, let's hear it. Well, a third brother in the car, who was a little older, he just did this. Now, as a young person, you're riding in the car with some of your buddies. How weird would that be, where somebody just does this? That's an extreme sort of... But you know what? That was a great lesson and a great, great help to me to realize some things I just need to not hear it. even if it's true. But why? It's full of death. It's this venom that James chapter 3 verse 8 talks about. So to go to such an extreme, maybe you're being very rude. Someone calls up and they have gossip. You hang up. That's not very polite, but you know what? That's like doing this. It may not be polite, but you're protecting what? You're protecting the building. It's not just about yourself only. So I would say, and the Lord knows, I've been through some storms. That has helped me make it through. And not one of the reasons I'm here is that kind of fellowship really helped me. The other thing, which much is more subtle, when you hear something positive, maybe you hear a good thing about this brother, or this church is really doing well in this, this, and that. Great. Praise the Lord. You know what? You also need to pray. Because that can also be a report that's not salted with the cross. And so both negative things, which is a lot more obvious because you feel this thud, this death in you when you touch it. But the other thing, which you think, oh, maybe, you know, that's something very good. And it could be very good and maybe something that we need to learn from. But we still need to take that to the Lord and let Him just cleanse us. Amen. So, proper speech for the building up.
Well, praise the Lord for this training. We're all learning. And so, as Atua mentioned, there are 18 chapters in this book. So with chapter 18, we come to the conclusion of this series of practical lessons. But in a sense, this is still just the beginning, right? If you were to have written these lessons, how would you conclude? What would be the conclusion? Our brother gives us this title, the practice needed for the building up of the church. The practice. For what? For the building up of the church. Interestingly, I was just noticing as well, Atsuo mentioned at this recent Itero, and all these messages are online, lsmwebcast.com, with all the outlines and the speaking. But the last message, message 9, the title was Practicing the Church Life, Speaking the Same Thing, and Doing the One Work in the Consciousness of the One New Man. So this matter of practice, I just wanted to read a couple of definitions of what is practice. And, of course, it could be used as a noun and a verb, but the noun, there are a couple of definitions. Practice, the actual application or use of something as opposed to theories relating to it. So not just the theories, but the actual application or use of something. Okay, that's a practice. Or the customary, habitual or expected procedure or way of doing something. Customary, habitual way. and then as a verb, perform or exercise repeatedly or regularly in order to improve or maintain one's proficiency. Or to carry out or perform habitually or regularly. So just these words, habitual, regularly, habitually. this is a practice. And so what are we practicing here in the church life? What is the practice for the building up? This is for the building up of the church. What is needed? Practice. But what are we practicing? Well, our practice, we're practicing Christ. Amen. Practicing Christ. What does that mean? We should be practicing our experience of Christ, our enjoyment of Christ, our partaking of Christ. And even our brother would use a few times in this chapter, sharing Christ. So we need to practice our experience, enjoyment, and sharing of Christ. So as Jeff had mentioned, we should always keep before us God's central work, His purpose, His intention, is to work Himself into our being.
Amen.
To be our person. And so for this, you know, our brother, the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians 3, had a prayer, right? This is referenced often. Actually, in this chapter, our brother begins with this prayer from Ephesians 3. There, Paul, you just sense the desperation. He was on his knees in his prison cell, that the Father, he would grant you, right, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into your inner man, that Christ may make his home in your hearts, right? That we would be rooted and grounded in love, and that we would be filled, right? Filled with him. So he was for the dispensing of the riches of Christ. This is part of what our practice should be. We're practicing living Christ, learning Christ, putting off and putting on, right? Putting off the old man and being renewed in the spirit of our mind and putting on the new man. So in everything, in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our decisions, right? The central point is not, you know, right or wrong, good or bad. That's not the criterion. The criterion, the standard, should be who is doing this? Who is the person doing this? Is it me or is it the Lord? Right, just like our speaking, so practical. But am I saying this or is it the Lord saying this? Or how is this? Maybe it's right. Maybe it's right that I would say this. But how am I saying it? And in what way would I say it? Or maybe I'm not the right person. Well, I'm never the right person. Right? It really should be, we should be taking the Lord as our person. And then out of that comes the speaking. Or out of that comes this decision. Right? Should I go here? Should I be here? Right? All these decisions. It shouldn't be us deciding. That's not the criterion. But we can practice to learn Christ. And so this is the practice needed for the building up of the church as the body of Christ, and also for the growth and development of the one new man. So, you know, we're just practicing. Implied in practice is that we would make mistakes. We make mistakes. But, you know, we have a baby in our small group. We have John and Cindy Wan. They have their baby, Jubilee. So Jubilee's there, and everyone last night just, right, holding her. But she's not quite walking yet. She can't walk. But then we also have little Micah. Micah was just a baby, but now Micah's grown, and he was crawling, and now he's walking a little bit. So with that growth in life, then there's the you begin to function. Then there's the practicing, and you may fall and this and that, but you still walk through practicing. So in all our daily living and in the church life, we can just be practicing. And so related to this matter of sharing Christ, I was really impressed with message 8 from the Itero on carrying out the stewardship of God for the one new man. That actually, in principle, God works through man. And so even in his dispensing, that's through man. So that even in feeding the 5,000, our brother shared this from Matthew chapter 14, there were all the crowds. And, of course, the disciples, they were saying, you know, Lord, send them away. Send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But what did the Lord say to them, to the disciples? He didn't say,
they do not need to go away. I will give them something to eat. He said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And then what did the disciples say? We don't have anything except 5 loaves and 2 fish. So then the Lord said, bring them to me. He looked up, he blessed them. He multiplied. There's a multiplication there. There's a blessing. But then the Lord didn't just distribute it in this miracle. He didn't just feed everyone that way. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples and the disciples to the crowds. That was the dispensing. That was the dispensing. So even God's dispensing is through stewards, through us. Amen. So we need to practice this as well. Having the riches, experiencing the riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and then dispensing them to one another. And this way we can apprehend with all the saints the unsearchable riches of Christ, right? The dimensions of Christ. And then we can be filled, and then the Lord is gaining what he's after. And that is the building up of the body of Christ, and also the maturation of the one new man to fulfill his purpose. So we have a few more weeks to be with one another, to practice in our groups. And then following that, however the Lord would lead. So praise the Lord for this training. Wonderful. How shall we finish?